Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem and welcome back to today's Daf Hayomi, Maseches Bava Basra Daf Hey. We are holding on the first line right on top here. Runya, so it was a fellow by the name of Runya. Akfe Ravina Ma'aba Ruchaisa. Runya had a field, and on all four sides of his field, Ravina, the Amir Ravina, owned fields as well. And Ravina proceeded to erect a fence, a protective fence, between his fields and Runya's field in the middle. So basically, Runya was now encircled from all four sides. Runya, Akfe, Ravina encircled him with a fence, Ma'aber Chesav, on all four sides. Now, as we learned yesterday, if a fellow was fully protected and now benefits from that fence erected on his behalf, he's obligated to chip in, to pay 50% of the cost of the fence. And that's what happened here as well. Amar Lei, so Ravina turned to Runya. Interestingly, by the way, we learned about Matziah, if you remember, that Runya was actually Ravina's sharecropper. So perhaps that happened before this story or later on. In any case, Amar Lei, Havli Kama de Gadri. So Ravina approaches Runya with a request. Look, chip in, Kavli Kama de Gadri, in accordance with what I spent on the fence, on the gather. Lo Yahu Lei, he refused. Okay, at least give me, what it would have cost to make a cheap fence, right? Havli lefit meikanim bezoil. Okay, I would have made a picket fence. So chip in, right, in proportion to that. Lo yavlei, he refused to give him. Havli agarna terusa. Okay, at least what it would have cost, get a watchman, a guard, which is less than a picket fence. So contribute in accordance with that type of expense. Lo yavlei, he refused to participate. Okay, yom echad, one day, have a kagodar dikli. Ravina notices that Runya is picking his palm trees. Amalei larise, so Ravina tells his sharecropper, who apparently was not Runya at this point, zil shokol meneki burdahini, go grab a cluster of dates, which will sort of, wake him up. Azal asuye, so he approached the property and he was about to take the Rama Beikala. So Runya starts yelling at him, get away. Amar Leis, Ravina turns to him, Golas Daitach. This is your undoing. You have just expressed your fervent wish that you wish to protect your property from intruders, right? The Meinach Nichalach, you're very satisfied by having that security and that protection. Lo Yehei Eli Izabam. Okay, forget about people intruding. Suppose it was just, an animal. Suppose these were goats coming in to consume your produce. Miloi bayin terusa, wouldn't you have to have some sort of protection? So you're having benefit. Be fair. Chip in. Amalei Saruni responds, no, izaba amal lav lachli baya. If it's just goats, you can just yell at them. You don't need a fence. So Ravina tells him, okay, but at least you need somebody standing there. Amalei v'lei gavra, boys, don't you need a person? The mechli that will yell at the animals. So bottom line, you're benefiting from my fence. Please chip in. Also come in the rubber. So he comes to Rava Amalei. Rava tells Runya, Zil paise b'may defayis. You know what? I'll give you some advice. You can chip in accordance with the last offer that was offered by Ravina, which is the smallest amount, whatever it would cost to have a person, watching. So he was willing to accept that lesser amount, go ahead and take advantage of that offer. Because really, if you look, because otherwise, the inan lachok dina, I'm going to apply on you the halacha karav huna libud Rabbi Yosi, Rav Huna's interpretation of Rabbi Yosi. So Rabbi Yosi told us yesterday, you have to pay for everything, at least part of everything. And Rav Huna said, whatever the fence cost, it was an expensive fence, you have to chip in 50% of that. So basically, if you'll take Ravina's discount offer to pay a very cheap fee, you'll come out ahead. Be lucky that he's accepting that offer, because otherwise you're going to have to pay big. Continues the Gemara with another story involving Runya and Ravina. So as explained, Runya had a field right in the middle, surrounded by Ravina's fields. Now there was another field outside this encirclement, meaning beside Ravina's fields. So that field, which was adjacent to Ravina was up for sale. And guess who purchased it? Runya, who wasn't really, he's not really an immediate neighbor. He's inside Ravina's fields. Now he's going and buying a field, which is on the other side of Ravina's fields. Runya Zavan Ara Ametra de Ravina. He purchased a field which was situated on the border of Ravina's fields. Sava Ravina Lislupi. Ravina figured he can get rid of him. He can force him to sell because, remember, we learned in Vava Metzia, Mishum Dino de Bar Metra. Ravina was a Bar Metra. He's a neighbor of that field up for sale. And the halacha is, this is based on the pasuk, V'asisa Hayashav Ratoiv. We're meant to go in the way of righteousness and goodness, and it's always easier to maintain and upkeep two fields adjacent to each other. So a neighbor has first rights of refusal. He has a right to purchase a neighboring property before a non-neighbor. So in this case, Ravina had a right to purchase that field before Runya, whose field wasn't right next to it, right? Omer Rav Safra Breid Rav Yeva LeRavina. Rav Safra turned to him and he says like this, in this case, no. You should forego that claim. Because Runya is a poor man. And you know what people say? I'm an inchi. People say, Arba. It's an expression. Poor shoemaker, poor fellow. How much is he earning? Arba Letzala. He's got to pay 4 coins for the raw material, for the leather. Arba Letzala. Another 4 for the processing of the leather, the tanner. By the time he's done, between the expenses and the right and the, you know, the labor and material, not much left for profiting on his. So basically, Runya is a poor man, and if this helps him, having a field pretty close by to his field, which allows him to save on maintenance expenses, etc. So the whole point is Vasisa Hayashav Ratoiv, and that's what you're coming from, right? But in this case, he's a poor man. Be generous to him, and you do Vasisa Hayashav Ratoiv to him by foregoing this privilege, this claim, this right of refusal, and allowing him to proceed with the purchase. It says the Mishnah, Kaisel Chatzar Shenafal. So once we have a Kaisel, a wall, splitting 2 parts of the court, of the yard, and then the Kaisel buckle, it fell apart. Shenafal, Mechayven Oisei Levnoise Ad Arba Amos. So you can force your neighbor to rebuild the wall up until 4 amos, which Rashi says is sufficient to protect from hezek re'iya, from prowling eyes. So you have a right to force him to do that. Becheska shenasa. Now, suppose there's a disagreement between Reuven, who says, look, Shimon, you have to, what happened to chipping in? And Shimon says, what am I paid for? I have paid for this rebuilding. Becheska shenasa. The assumption is that Shimon paid. Achyoi raya shalinasa. Unless Reuven can prove that he didn't. Because Rashi says, Mishpat ze lakoil goli. Everybody knows. Everybody knows that, you have to rebuild the wall. So he wouldn't have, Reuben would not have laid out the money. He would have gone to Bezin and made sure that Shimon pays up. So the assumption is that he paid up. But midalad amos ulamalam. But the section beyond 4 amos in height, that's not required. You can't force your neighbor to do that. Even if it was there before him. But once it collapses and you want to rebuild it, you can't force him to go that high. But let's say somach lekoisel achar, Shimon refused to pay for the extra height, right? But then you see that Shimon suddenly is looking to benefit from that extra height, which Reuven paid on his own, right? Reuven laid out the money, built it all the way up. Now Shimon put a wall next to it and is going to use this rebuilt wall, which is very tall. He's going to use it as a support for that second wall, which he's building next to it. He's going to put his beams across and use it as a support wall. Oh, now Shimon has indicated that he's interested in that extra height. Even if he hadn't yet run the beams, the ceiling beams across onto this wall, now he's got to pay up and chip in for the extra height as well. And now, let's say, he claims he paid, and Reuven disagrees, becheska shalinos, and the assumption is he didn't pay, because this is not a clear-cut halacha. We assume he didn't pay unless he proves that he did. That takes us into the next discussion. Omer Reish Lakish, hakaveh azman lechaveri. Reuven lent Shimon $1 million. You have 6 months to pay. V'amalei praticha b'seich zmani. Shimon now claims that he paid. Reuben, I paid you 4 months into the term. B'seich zmani, before the time was up, I paid you already. We don't believe him. V'alavai, and Tosafot says there were Edom that he lent him the money, right? So now he claims that he repaid it before the due date. We don't trust that. V'alavai shifra b'zmanai. We only wish that a person pays on time. The assumption is they don't pay unless you have to, unless your due date arrived. Abai and Rabbah, Amrit Abai, they both disagree. Avad inish tepar v'gazimna, it could happen that a person pays early. Why? Zimnan, Dimasram Lezus, perhaps he encountered some money. Amar, he figured, Ezel, Ipari, let me just go pay him up already. Kehechid le'lutru, then so he doesn't, bug me later on. Tonight, let's go to the mission that we just learned. B'cheska shenasan. So you can compel him to rebuild the wall up until 4 amos in height. The assumption is that he paid it. Unless he can prove, Reuben can prove that he laid it out and he's still waiting for Shimon to pay. So that's halacha the Mishnah. What exactly happened here? What's Shimon claiming? If Shimon says, look, I paid you, bizmani. When you completed the wall, I paid you right away. Well then, pshita, of course, obviously, b'cheska shenasan. Why would you assume he didn't pay? Right? We know there's a Mishnah in Maseches Shavuos, right? That Reuben has a monetary claim against Shimon, who totally denies it. Shimon is believed. Elalav, so it must be that it wasn't so simple. Rather than pretending that he paid after the fact, when the payment was due, he's claiming that he paid before he was really obligated to pay, while the building was still happening, while the construction was still ongoing. I paid you in the middle of this month, before payment was due. And what does the mission say? We take his word for it. Apparently a person can claim that he paid early. Well, Shani Yacha, no, here it's very different. It's not early at all. The kol shafa v'shafa zimni, every row, you're supposed to be paying per row. Meaning, as soon as the fellow finished one course of bricks, you should have paid him for it. He doesn't have to lay out the money for you. You're partners. You should be both chipping in evenly, equally. So as soon as he finished the second, you should have paid him right away. So anytime along this process, right, if Shimon says he paid, it's pretty much la'achar zman, it's pretty much post due date. In which case, we assume that he's right. And this doesn't relate to our discussion of whether or not a person pays before he's obligated. He's obligated to pay as soon as a person puts up a section. Toshmai comes another right from the next part of the mission. Regarding the extra height on the wall, we don't obligate him to pay. And in fact, b'cheska sheleinosan, the assumption is he didn't pay. Ad sheyoverai sheinosan, unless he can prove that he did. Hechidami, what exactly is he saying? Is he claiming that he paid when the wall was complete? Am I loyal? So why is he not believed? Ella loved the Amalei Paticha B'Teich Zmani. So apparently, what he's saying is, look, I paid you before you finished the wall. Right? Alma. And the Mishnah says he's not believed. Apparently, a person is not believed to claim that he paid prior to his due date. And here we can't say that he has to pay per row because it's not a standard obligation. Here he's lifting the kaisel higher than standard. And well, it's not so simple that he has to, right, they'll have to pay it. It's only because, like we said, he decided to benefit from it. So in any case, if we're speaking that he purported to have paid while the construction was ongoing, and the mission says he's not believed. Apparently, a person is not believed to say that he paid Teich's money. Shani Yochas says, well, no! Perhaps he was claiming that he paid post-construction, and still he's not going to be believed. This is very different than your standard case, the Omar, because the person's figuring, Shimon is, Mi Eimar, who says the Mechayvi L'Rabbona, the Rabbona are going to obligate me to pay. Look, you built the wall, it's your own decision, your own thing, right? So the whole obligation is not really so cut and dry, it's not so simple. So here we can't believe that he actually paid it. Because who says he really understands that he has to pay? But in a standard situation where a person lent money and the leiva claims that he repaid mid-term, perhaps there he's believed. So we have this ongoing machlekes between Rish Lakish, who says no, and Abai Barava, who says yes, says the Gemara Rabbanon, Rav Papa, Rav Huna, Breda B'Yeshua, Avdik Abai Barava, they follow that shita, that he's believed, Mar Barav Ashi, Avdik Rish Lakish, that he's not believed. V'lchasa, the conclusion is Rish Lakish, that he's not believed. A person typically does not pay Teich Zmanoi. Afilu Miyasmi, the Chiddush is even. If it involves Yisoyimim, Rashi says, a borrower passed away during the loan term, the Malva cannot turn to the Yisoyimim and collect his money without having to swear, which is typically standard procedure for collecting from Yisoyimim. You have to swear that you haven't been repaid. But here we assume he wasn't repaid. The term of the loan was not up yet. Afilu Miyasmi, Va'afagav, says the Gemara Va'afagav, even though the Amar we learned, Ha'boli Para Minichsi Yisoyimim, typically when you collect from the assets of orphans, lo yipar lo bishvu, you have to swear, and in fact you deserve it. Here it's different. Chazaka, the assumption is lo yavad inish, a person typically does not go ahead to par gamzim name pay before the term of his loan is up, and therefore the malva has a right to collect without substantiating his claim. Okay, so we began with a story of Runya, who was forced to pay Ravina for part of the wall. Then we had the story where Ravina was asked to be extra generous to Runya regarding the extra field that was purchased. And we have the Mishnah, Kusel Chatzar, that's being rebuilt. Up until 4 arms you can force your neighbor. Past 4 arms you can't, unless he has shown that he is benefiting from that wall. That took us into the Machlokes, Rish Lakish and Abai Barava, regarding whether a person is believed to say he paid Teich Zmanoi, and the halacha is that he's not, and that allows collection even from Yisoyimim, because the assumption is that he was not yet repaid. All the best to you, and Hatzlacha Rabba.